we're talking with Jim Barmer. He is the director of the Maine Business Leadership Network, or BLN, up in Augusta, Maine. Jim, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
So tell me a little bit about what the Maine Business Leadership Network is.
Well, Maine Business Leadership Network, we're an affiliate of a national organization called the U.S. BLN, or Business Leadership Network. Our primary focus is on helping individuals with disabilities or people with disabilities access employment. The data on people with disabilities is pretty dire, meaning that if 79% of the working age population are employed, only 35% of that population with disabilities in Maine is working. So we're trying to raise that number and encourage businesses to look at enhancing their diversity and inclusion practices.
What are some of the challenges that make the number so low? Is it employers, well, first, is it misinformation? Is it that there are challenges with the skill set of the employee in terms of they may have been working in a factory or may have been working on the line and now can no longer do something based on their, you know, disability, and then thus they have to be retrained? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think that there are probably components of both. I think that there's a lot of misinformation about what's entailed with hiring somebody with a disability. The disability spectrum is broad. It's all-encompassing. There are so many different factors. I mean, there are very apparent disabilities that you can look at someone and know that they have, you know, a disability. Then you have non-apparent disabilities, which you or I wouldn't know unless that individual discloses that. So,
and certainly when you're hiring somebody, it is prudent for the candidate to either make that disclosure if necessary or not. So does that also factor into the challenge with hiring them?
I think that it does. What our goal is to try to help employers understand that there's a real benefit to looking at this targeted population. As you know, David, Maine has a challenge, like many states, with an aging population. At some point, we're going to run out of people to fill our vacant positions. We may even be there. So looking at targeted populations and trying to really bring them on board, recognizing them as a talent pool, I think is really important.
How does that affect the company's bottom line? Do they have to spend a lot more to hire somebody with a disability? You know, there's a lot of questions having to do with the American Disabilities Act and some of the rules and regulations that say you have to do this or that. Kind of talk about that a little.
Well, I mean, there is proposed federal legislation to mandate, a certain percentage. I would prefer that companies make that decision on their own. The short answer is there is an advantage to hiring someone with a disability. There are tax incentives. There are other supports. It actually is a good choice, and it helps a company's bottom line from a business perspective. Retention data shows that people with disabilities are more loyal. And also, this is the third largest market segment in the country. So a company that hires people with disabilities, I think, is also enhancing its image and tapping into a trillion-dollar market of people that want to support what it is that they're doing as a business.
In terms of the education piece to the employer, I know you're working with the chamber, and certainly the Chamber of Commerce is all over the state. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, how that partnership has evolved and how they're helping your organization, the BLN.
Sure. The whole BLN concept goes back about 15 years when the U.S. Chamber of Commerce had a very active role with the Office of Disability Employment Policy of launching the U.S. BLN. And so, by and large, out of the 50-plus affiliates of the BLN across the country, most of them have a strong affiliation with either their local or state Chamber of Commerce. In our case, our primary affiliate partner is the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. So they're providing some administrative support, some marketing support. The great thing, as you know, with the Maine State Chamber of Commerce is if I went out there maybe on my own, people not knowing exactly who we were, we may not have as many doors open to us as going in and saying, hey, we're affiliated with the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. And people are willing to listen. It's also, I think, a part of their overall workforce development strategy of trying to enhance opportunities for all Maine people and promoting a strong economy.
No, I think this is important. I think it's a segment of the population that is viable, usable, And absolutely is a segment that we want to help employers learn why it can be valuable for them. You know, one of the things that I know you're doing is having a business-to-business approach on this. And you kind of talked about that off the air with me, and so I'd like you kind of to share that with the audience.
Well, I think that businesses know best on, you know, what works and what doesn't work. So the peer-to-peer approach, we have a lead employer. So every BLN affiliate has a lead employer. Ours is Procter & Gamble, Tambrands, and Auburn, who have done some amazing work with the launching of their Flexi Center. Right now they have, I think, just around 60 people, and the employment rate of people with disabilities in that Flexi Center, which is a custom pack center, is around, I think it's like 40%. And so I guess what we're doing is taking that model, which is modeled on Walgreens' very successful model, and saying these are some practices that have worked, not just in Maine but across the country. And I think those conversations that develop with employers have an opportunity to talk openly with each other. They share their challenges. They can even share maybe some of the fears that they have about making this step. But the businesses in Maine that are doing hiring, like Procter & Gamble, like L.L. Bean, like Unum, like many other businesses, we're trying to, I guess, have a more intentional partnership. And so that's part of the membership piece, and really trying to help support other businesses of taking that next step, whatever that might be. It might be hiring their first person with a disability, or maybe they have five or six and it's hiring, you know, another three or four, and kind of encouraging that, you know, taking that next step, whatever that might be.
You mentioned the Walgreens model. I'm not sure everybody knows the Walgreens model, so could you kind of quickly go over their success and what that model was, and why it's a national model to look at?
I think Walgreens has been phenomenal in what they've been able to do, and primarily it came out of their VP for logistics and supply chain, Randy Lewis, who has an autistic son. And Randy just basically went to other managers and said, could we do more? I mean, they were already there hiring people with disabilities and looking at launching a brand new distribution center at the time. I think it was in Anderson, South Carolina. They looked at doing, you know, universal design, all on one level, and unbeknownst to them, when they sort of took this next step, it became their most productive distribution center. And then when they built their new distribution center down in Windsor, Connecticut, same thing. That percentage, I think it's 800 people working there, 400 people with disabilities. It's their leading distribution center for performance across the country. So what they found is not only they've supported this model, but it's really made sense from a bottom line perspective. And they've found out some things around safety and other alterations in their process, primarily because they took this step. But that was sort of that commitment that started with Randy Lewis.
The main BLN, you've been in existence for a little while now, and you're the new director, correct, as
yes.
of August of
That's
2012,
correct.
So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure you've said to yourself, this is going to be a rewarding position, correct? I mean, to me, I would think that being able to help people with disabilities and get this message out there must be a rewarding for you.
Well, I think any opportunity that you have to make a difference in people's lives is rewarding. It's certainly a challenge. We're brand new, trying to get off the ground, trying to get our name out there. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, my background's workforce development, and I think this is sort of that next step forward for me. We're excited and really looking to connect with Maine's businesses.
Tell me what the goals are of the BLN.
Two goals this year. Part of it is sustainability. As a new affiliate, we've been relying on grant money. Now we're making that transition to private sector funding and building up our membership. So we have a goal of trying to get to 50 members by the 1st of October.
Well, that's a huge membership increase, correct?
Yes.
And so how's the goal coming, by the way?
We're getting there. I think what we're going to see is a real push over the next couple of months as we move towards the Maine HR convention in May to really connect with Maine's employers. So we're looking to build a partnership with the Maine State Council of SHRM. And the Diversity Hiring Coalition as statewide partners, because, as you know, that's a great group of people to connect with.
And no, the Maine HR Convention is a great conference, and certainly New England Law Publishers, MaineHR.com, yes, is a great sponsor of this show. So we could, yeah, we absolutely think that it's wonderful, but not only for the sponsorship, but the fact that they are able to connect 800 of the New England group's top HR people together. And you have a lot of great talent there that can, right, just connect with, and you don't usually get to see them all in one place.
No.
You know, it's 4 days. It's a great conference. So, no, I absolutely agree. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour.
Maine DOT has a special announcement for northbound drivers who routinely take I-295's Exit 15 in Yarmouth. Stop taking Exit 15. I repeat, stop taking Exit 15. It's not your exit anymore. It was your exit once, but not now. Forget about northbound Exit 15. Exit 15 is not for you. Actually, Maine DOT is adding a brand new on-ramp there, and to do that safely and quickly, closing Exit 15 is required starting March 12th. So if you're driving northbound on Interstate 295 and headed for Route 1 in Yarmouth, take Exit 10 in Falmouth or Exit 17. Temporary traffic signals will make taking those alternate exits safe and convenient. You can take Exit 15 southbound, but just forget all about Exit 15 northbound, at least until June. Sometime in June, you can take Exit 15 then. Take it all you want. Exit 15 will be yours once again. A message from Maine DOT. There's better road ahead. Drive safely.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Jim Baumer. How are you?
I'm very well, David. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. And so for all those listening, he is the director of the Maine Business Leadership Network, and we're talking about disabilities in the workplace and getting employers to hire more individuals, which is just an important step in helping the overall economy of Maine, actually yes, the overall economy across the country. What is the biggest obstacles you think companies face in hiring people with disabilities?
I just think right now it's some of it's the lack of information. I think some of it's the fear that employers have. So here's an example. Some employers are fearful that if they hire a person with a disability, they'd have to make all of these accommodations. The reality is that if accommodations are made, the average accommodation is less than $500. But in fact, most reasonable accommodations don't cost a dime. There are very simple things that can be done. There are a lot of great resources. There's a job accommodation network nationally that will come in, will do an assessment, and we can certainly work with employers and help connect them to those kinds of resources and figure out what would work for them. And that's kind of what one of our goals is to connect with employers and help provide that information for them. So we are sort of that one stop for them.
And if somebody wants to reach out to you, what is the website that they can?
Our website is mainbln.org. They can email me, director@mainbln.org, or they can call me at area code, of course, 207-215-1492.
You know, one of the things we hear a lot about is the skills gap that's happening out there and companies struggling to find great employees. Gosh knows that, you know, we hear this all the time from every level. How do you think that this work that you're doing with the BLN can help address some of those workforce issues?
I think that the people with disabilities in this state and everywhere represent a tremendous pool of talent. It's an obvious underutilized pool. So being able to connect, recognizing the skills, and finding those particular skills that employers might have to meet those needs.
Are there specific industries that you're seeing that fit right into the niche of hiring disabilities? Or is it really across the board?
I think it's across the board. I mean, I think it would be... normal to look at our success here in Maine with Procter & Gamble and Tambrands in Auburn. They're manufacturing. There's some component of distribution there, and say, well, that's the sector. But if you look at nationally, the U.S. BLN, they represent over 5,000 companies nationally, and they are across the board. You've got transportation with Southwest Airlines and CSX. You've got Microsoft. You've got Walmart. You've got Lowe's. You've got small disability-owned entrepreneurial businesses. So I guess the simple answer would be it really depends on what the skills are that the business needs, because people with disabilities are just like everybody else. People have specific skills and talents, and it's plugging those skills and talents into the particular need that you have as a business.
As we look at the costs that an employer has to face, because the reality is, if we're talking about a small employer, for example, they may have five or six people. That could be 20% of their workforce, someone who may have a disability. What are some of the averages, maybe you may know, that an employer may have to look at from a cost perspective? And from, remember, everything is cost-benefit analysis, right? I mean, let's be honest with, that's when we're hiring anyone, when we're doing anything. Employers and HR professionals are looking at, what is my cost-benefit analysis for this? So is there any data that you have or anything that you could say, hey, this makes sense, especially when...
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a lot of information out there. Studies have been done from the Department of Labor. Walgreens has done a study on retention. Procter & Gamble and Auburn have seen a tremendous advantage of hiring people with disabilities from the retention side. So just looking at retention, if that population tends to be more loyal and stays longer, you know, the cost of turnover is high. I know that looking at, for instance, you know, contingent workforce and staffing, they've had a lot of companies have issues with turnover. What Procter & Gamble has found is this has really been advantageous for them in their Flexi Center, and the same thing with Walgreens. So I think if you look nationally, companies have had a lot of success with the retention side, hiring people with disabilities, and the data certainly points to that.
Well, you know, I think this is an area that maybe isn't talked a lot about, and it's something that really is under the radar of a lot of organizations, companies, and, you know, certainly when we talk to employers, very rarely do they ever talk about this area. And yet I think it is certainly a need and could potentially solve a number of hiring problems that are out there. And so how do you think that you're going to continue to get that message out? How do you align with the national organization, especially, to coordinate that message?
Well, I think looking at what USBLN is promoting and then sort of bringing it back and looking at best practices from across the country, one of the things that we're looking to do is to do some, what I would say, informational employer summits. So we want to do 4 to 6 of them across the state. Right now we're looking tentatively of doing our first employer summit in the Bangor area sometime around the end of April. Right now we're just in the early planning stages. We're going to look at doing something in Aroostook County. We want to partner with each one of the HR chapters in doing this, bring employers in, try to offer some HCRI credits for HR people during that. It'll probably be a half-day event. But I think beginning to get that conversation started with businesses, get this, you know, higher up the pecking order on the radar, getting them to recognize that this is truly something important. It factors in very much with the conversation around workforce and skill gap and also the shortage of talent that a lot of businesses are talking about. And I think this is one of the tools that offer a solution.
When you're talking to employers, do they ever just flat out say, I'm sorry, we can't really do that?
No, I mean, so far, I mean, I'm sure that that will happen. But I found that so far the conversations that I've been having since August have been very, very positive. In fact, more and more companies are beginning to sort of say, well, you know, who is this BLN? And you know, trying to connect with businesses that I had worked with in the past doing the workforce development stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's always great being on a show like this because you have a tremendous audience. It's connected with the HR community. That's always a great entree and a door in at many companies, probably most companies in Maine. So,
well, you know, I think, as I said before, the companies want to do the right thing. I say this all the time. You know, they want to do the right thing for the company. They want to do the right thing for the people. And so there's this delicate balance between the two, right? So that you have the bottom line, and the fact is that if you don't make a profit, you're out of business.
Right.
And then you can't help anybody. At the same time, you want to still take care of your people. You want to provide them great benefits. You want to provide reasonable accommodation. You want to provide them safety and well-being, all of the standard things that any employer would want to do. And 99.9% of all employers want to do that. So this fits right into that niche in saying, hey, is this one more way we can get great talent in? Because great talent is really all that matters at the end of the day. I've never had somebody go, no, I really want you to find me. I know you do recruiting, Dave, and I know you're out there. Could you just find me mediocre talent? Right. You know, just average talent. That's all I really want. I've never heard anybody say that. And rarely do they ever say, and it has to be, you know, a person who is perfect.
Right.
Because the reality is no one's perfect. And I think that this is one of those areas when you're looking at it from a blind perspective, if you just put the candidate on paper and you said, this is who they are and this is what they can do. And as long as they can articulate that and do what's necessary, it shouldn't even be a factor.
It's interesting. You know, I've had conversations with a lot of businesses around the state, and one that really has resonated with me and I really appreciate it was one I had with Chris Hopkins, the HR manager at J&S Oil. And if you've ever been into a J&S Oil station, and this is not a pitch for J&S Oil, but I travel a lot, so I love their stations. And when you go in, you are always greeted by a friendly person. And that's part of what they do. They hire a personality. So in the context of this, you know, he told me, we don't really care about the person other than the fact that we're hiring a personality. So for businesses like that, I mean, that's the perfect example of, you know, they're hiring a specific talent. And I really do think, if nothing else, the message I'm trying to get across with the Maine BLN is this is a talent recruitment and retention tool. Nothing more, nothing less. I mean, we can make it more, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but this truly is a tool for a hiring manager's toolkit. And it can be a really beneficial tool that benefits their bottom line as a business.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you being in today. I think that this organization, the Maine Business Leadership Network, or Maine BLN, is an important new organization. As I said, just started in August with you as the new director, so congratulations again.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you bringing this message and continue to get out there and talk about it, especially at the chambers, and I think that this will resonate.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your show, David. Thank you.